How would you introduce yourself?
My name is Wayne Williams. I'm the owner of Williams Consulting Services, and we provide technological services to the U.S. government. And we also do other kind of such as website development, software development, and IT services. Now, we also describe ourselves as an industry.
I think that's the thing more about NTC than what it is.
Just a little bit. NTC was actually started 1 year ago today. I just went through the negotiations to renew the contract for one more year. Basically, it's part of HUD's initiative to actually turn powerful developments over to the residents. So the plan is to renovate, refurbish 11 housing developments in Boston and actually turn them over to the residents in the process. And in turning them over to the residents, one of the issues that came up was how do you get residents to be self-sufficient over time? And that's the idea behind NTC and the other neighborhood technology centers, that by providing residents with the skill sets, especially surrounding technical skills, that you give them a way or a means of support themselves over time. And also, they would have to use technology in order to actually manage their own property, because you're going from housing developments that have historically been owned by HUD or by the state or state financing agencies, actually being owned and managed and operated by the residents. So the end of our contract, the success of my contract will be actually to have residents being able to run their own property.
Would you describe the name of the technology center for one more time?
It's kind of utility in a sense of form. Right now, we have two centers. One center currently is up and operating, getting ready to open the other center this week. At NTC, we currently have 15 computers, 5 high-end computers, basically monitors for if the multimedia capacity, Pentium 2s. And we have a Windows NT server machine, and we have a T1 line to the internet, public, all the goodies. Basically, we teach two different types of courses. We teach advanced courses in computer animation, website development, financial management using the computers. And we also have our mainstay course, which is a course meeting power computers and society, where we try to bring together a social approach with a technical approach and actually teaching residents how to apply technology to their everyday life. And we make our curriculum very much social so that we pull people in at the very point of where they are and time and how they can then use those skills to go out and really make it. So our curriculum is very practical on one side and very advanced on the other
side. One more question. What's your age group?
90% of our users are between the ages of 13 to 17. And then 10% adult.
And this is not associated with schools?
No.
At this point. This is associated with projects?
Yes. Projects and schools, because we actually have schools who actually use our services as after school.
And this is a HUD program?
Yes.
And what sort of evaluation has been up to this point?
For NTC,
yeah.
It will be my contract evaluation, because my evaluation is directly dependent upon how well the center will utilize this technology, how well the residents are able to take the training and actually do something with it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So every quarter I provide an evaluation to HUD and MHSA.
Please.
Sure. I'm Belinda Duran. I worked in high tech for a number of years, working at the law school here, and graduated in this past June. I'm a first-year associate at Hale & Dorr in Boston, practicing corporate law and high-tech licensing work, and I work quite a bit with George Contreras, who has been supporting Tom Williams' project. George wasn't able to be here today, so I've come in his place. Unfortunately, I do have a commitment back at the office, so I won't be able to stay for very long, but I appreciate the opportunity to participate.
George specifically has worked with us on a project that's incorporating a nonprofit entity called H2O, which is something I won't describe to you, which we have copies now, but it's really the core of our open code strategy, which is part of what we're very interested in the purposes of this project. Great.
Hi, my name is Tamara Thompson. Some people call me Kiki. I'm a second-year student here at the law school. I don't have anything to offer the technological side at this point, and I'm the only one sitting around this table who knows nothing about open code. But I do hope to contribute to the substance of it and things that we like to investigate.
I'm Barbara Leitana. I'm basically a writer, but instead of this young man, and the fact that I've been writing on computers, I find myself in the world of computers. He knows far much more than I do about them. And in trying to help him learn more, I've gathered together some of his friends and through them other technologically competent children to create a tech school, which is still in its formation stage. We held a summer school last August for 1 month. We had 12 students. Microsoft gave us some money and some software, and we had tutors. We had computers from local companies. And they just, you know, brainstormed and worked together and fooled around and bonded for 1 month. Our software came so late, we couldn't really get a chance to use it, but one thing we could do was put a website together. Since then, we've been working to make the tech school be a permanent reality, where children like him can come and develop their skills in programming, website design, their practical skills that can really take them forward to earn a living, not just Word and Excel. And hopefully to create something, a program, a game, something that can be not only universally accepted, but something that would be indigenously Jamaican, something that would have as its basic aerial appeal the fact that it's Jamaican, something that would reflect our culture and still be universally desirable. That's our main project we're trying to create. The children all want to build a game. And since then we've met Iana, I have to only call you Iana, who's linking us up. He first of all introduced us to the whole concept of open code. One of the directors of the tech school is a lady who is very anti-Microsoft, and she first told us that, you know, and at the summer school we got a limited exposure to it, so at least we knew what it was, we could see what it was. We didn't really know how to use it or what to do with it. Tech school ended in September. We've been at MIT most of the month of November, December and January. So here we are now trying to put it all together so that we have a functioning school where we can have that kind of working together facility. We just came out of a meeting yesterday with the Ministry of Technology where we're defining just how the school will function and how we will work with them. We as a private corporation or a private entity working with a government ministry, we decided what we do is create a foundation, a tech school foundation, so it will be a non-profit organization, which will, in addition to the advanced class of students actually who are developing and training, we will also offer lessons to beginner youth to create another pool from which we can draw, and also offer lessons to adults who want to know how to use the technology. I like very much what you were saying about centers that people can come in and learn about technology. We're linking a UNDP program called the Sustainable Development Project, which is trying to put centers, focal points around the island in the rural areas, particularly where there are farming communities. So they can use the computer to help develop their community, access information about crops, sales, etc., and really, you know, upgrade themselves. They want the tech schoolers to help train these adults in these focal centers. And just really, how the minister sees tech school is as something that's really going to bring technology to the island by starting with the base of children who, nobody, no one else in Jamaica knows about technology but the children right now. There's a very, very thriving program in Jamaica to put computers in all secondary schools. And that program originally was just using the computers as Google Blackboard, but now I think very much because of what we've been doing, the realization has come, and I mean, when I say we, I mean the whole ministry movement, that computers actually can be used for more than just blackboards, and that we need to be using computers to teach children how to use computers. So Tech School and the Ministry of Technology is interfacing with the Ministry of Education in that way. So our Tech School is very much like a kind of pioneer project that must spread over the whole island and internationally. There's a great demand. I mean, people can't wait for us to get our school set up. We've just been given, we're getting 20 computers. They're not Y2K compliant, but we need them to be. They need computers. Citibank has them. Yes.
But they're there.
Yes.
They're in the country.
Yes. We don't have a place yet. We have permission to put two trailers on the largest post office in Kingston. The post offices are going to be the places where people can come and have access to the internet so easily. So we also been invited to be involved in that training. But the logistics of that site haven't been worked out. So we're in the process of really finding a location. This is Rowan thinking of some of the buildings that now own something that we call FinTech, which has taken over all the failing banks and large corporations. So we don't know where we're going to be, but we've scheduled now a launch date for the end of May, maybe in child month, if you May is the best month. We also plan a summer school in July, August, which will take place for 50 students, kind of whom we want to be from overseas. So between now and August, we have to make a tech school happen. And in May, we launch the school itself and the tech school foundation and work towards having everything in place for the summer school. Therefore, part of the launch would be a three-day seminar. We'd like it to be a three-day seminar that would give the whole island exposure to what we're doing. A seminar that would bring in the technology people, the technology industry and workers, the education people, that would include parents as well, and youth. We want to make a day that's just youth in action, youth, whatever they want to do, fooling around, anything, just a youth day, which we can really gather tech schoolers, talk about it all. I see that you're planning Cyber Tree for May, and I'm just wondering whether there's any way we can dovetail the two things, because for this seminar, I would very much like you and whoever you recommend for the tech school launch to be there at that time.
Well, we've got a revision of
the
table. It would be the subject of our meeting.
Okay. Well,
how
about
say no? Okay. Okay. Come on, if you want to introduce yourself.
Well, I'm Makone, and I'm the Youth Technology Consultant for the Ministry of Technology and Commerce for the Community. A lot of computers, a lot of technology, improve the level of technology awareness in Jamaica through tech school. And, you know, change a lot of these technology that's flat, so I can create my game style. I just really want to work with this whole thing that I'm always looking at in the creative community, just to see what's going on. I'm really into the open code stuff. I don't know that much, you know, I know it's easy to make sense, that kind of stuff. I'm first, but, you know, there's always room for it. Okay.
Good. Now, this one fellow that I'm worried about, this guy, Jeff, showed me that. And he got it.
And
he come on. Alright. What I propose is that I just outline what I hope we accomplish in the meeting. And then try to go with a couple of Kessler and see if Kessler can make it happen. Okay? The collaboration that we're working on with the Neighborhood Technology Center is now taking a form that's embodied in this document, which we just brought us over. Essentially what we're doing. But Wayne, why don't you explain what the plan is? The current plan. Okay. Is that okay?
That's fine. The current plan actually have two property forms. One in May, which will be the smaller scale form, and one in September to kick off the 1999-2000 academic year. And between those forms during the summer, the plan is to have a training program at NTC that will actually train and supervise student workers to make the previous year 2000 compatible. And also at the same time, running concurrently to that, we are also going to have a resident training program up and running, which we would like to invite up to two people from Cyber Jam, as I understand it, to participate in.
That's an intensive program.
Yes.
That's a 4-day intensive program.
No. You're talking about the vision. Okay. Resident training program is a certificate program that Williams Consulting put together with MSFA to actually certify residents to run their own technology center at the end of the program. It's basically, I would say, a smaller version of like a Microsoft certification program. And it would take place, 6-month program basically, begin in August the 1st and run through January the 31st. And in terms of what Charlie was saying, but that's more internal as a visions workshop at the Berkman Center, selected members of the Berkman Center and the NTC would do together.
Go ahead.
And that's basically what I see is the kind of scope that we have been able to come up with at this time.
Wayne, what would happen in the summer? What kind of training? Describe the training that students would get to make the computers more capable. How long is that? Is it 30 hours a week? So that's the one that summer work on the first page?
First page.
Yeah, talk a little bit about that.
Okay. We are currently, I don't think too much because currently the specific times and all that, we are working out with MSFA and HUD.
Right, but what kind of training is that going to be? I mean, that's not software development, that's internal computer repair and board work.
Yeah, changing the bounds. Yeah. Every day, you know, changing the bounds, the board work, to actually setting up. Like, I would need more specifics about the computers too, but actually to make sure they have an updated operating system, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, to be able to set
that date, though, you know, we are in the process of working
out. Right, but I guess my question is, when you get donated computers, they may be as useful as the ones you had, but they were taken from some useful place where they were being used and put to use. But they could also be things that have been sitting someplace for a while and not be able to plug them in and turn them on.
Yeah.
So the training would be that broad.
Yeah, the training will actually need to take any, I won't say any. No,
you don't. Well, either way,
but any computer and upgrade it to the point that it needs to be.
Okay.
How long did that course last? How long, you said how many hours?
Until July 8th.
July 8th to the 15th.
Oh,
the Pacific times, though, we have not yet come to agreement on.
Right. So it's a 1 week course, you're saying?
No, it's actually a 2 month course.
A 2 month course.
But the Pacific time and details are in the process of being negotiated.
I'm very interested. That kind of sounds similar to something that we could really use.
And actually, as you get a sense of what computers you have, you can then look at what the training pieces are. And there may be opportunities for this is going to be a focus this week or this 2 weeks. So, in fact, asking, you're coming in a little collaboration or whatever, because you know that focus is going to be on BIOS this week or.
That's rather how I'm going to set up text me this summer, that each week there's a specific focus, because not all the students will be there for that whole 4 weeks. There'll be some doing this and some doing that. I mean, there might be some that have something that would last 4 weeks, but that's what I'd like to know.
Could you give me like a more in-depth explanation of like what exactly would you be teaching in the courses? Like on the 2 month session we're talking about, what exactly?
That's in the front of the A lot of this, because of legality for the 2 month contract, it gets muddy. I need to be careful about it. But concurrent to this, we will also be starting up the resident training program and have our regular summer program, which concentrates on website development, computer animation, using light weighting, and intensive Microsoft Words, Excel, PowerPoint, SS, CAM for local middle schools. So we actually have 4 programs run concurrently with management. What is it?
Everything today.
Seems like you're all doing very similar things.
Very similar. And if we were to say, okay, this is basically going to be the lineup that we're going to follow. So we're looking at some event here locally, not necessarily a huge event in May, and then a much more significant event for kids and schools and everything in the fall. And we wanted, as part of that design, to be doing something that was paralleling in Jamaica. Do you see how that could work? That is, how would you be thinking about it?
Not that
we
totally actually think about it
and but no, you had actually the sub like 2 slots for persons from Jamaica for training.
That really comes from the Cyber Jam work that we talked about originally, if you recall, when I brought Wayne's curriculum to the Cyber Jam. It was with the goal of having Wayne go and help us, because one of the plans that came out of the Cyber Jam was to have an assessment tool to be able to assess what the needs were in Jamaica. And one of the thoughts was to have Wayne and the team travel to either develop the assessment tool over here, but better yet, go to Jamaica, help develop the assessment tool, people like Derek Lowe and people like Barbara, and to see what actually was there. And then our goal was maybe to have people come back and do have people from Jamaica do training at Wayne Center with the goal of having the ability to set up similar NTCs. Or similar tech schools. I don't think the terminology really matters in terms of what we call them, because the goals are really quite similar. But to be able to use his experience at setting up those centers and his experience with training, to be able to export that training, maybe just to train trainers. The most successful model is not to have everybody come over here, but to set up a kind of elite training cadre of people who would take the training, maybe there'd be some monitoring back and forth, but to really help people teach the man the fish, give people that actually certification to run their centers. Now the extra part is to give them the training to retool those computers, because you have a potential. When we talk on the website, we talk about this pie in the sky bounty of computers that everybody has their hands on, and here you have 20 yourself.
you make it more internally that it's far more useful to you where you need training to do that. Maybe there'll be a large contract that will eventually come from you. But that was really the notion of having two people from Jamaica come to take this training to set up centers, but also to be able to retool them too. So maybe we're talking about trainers or trainers rather than people moving back and forth in large numbers just because of the expense and the time commitment.
And we're talking about tech crews, not just being one thing,
right,
separate around the island. And in fact, what you're talking about, May, I still see that if you do your private treaties in May, maybe we definitely want our launch to be the last week in May. So maybe yours can take place before, and out of that, you still come to Jamaica and make some input at the launch that can give you materials and personnel to take forward for the training you're talking about. You would be able to identify one or two students who would benefit from such training. And then there's the reciprocal flow for all of us again. Yeah, it's just, it's that I see.
Well, that sounds completely plausible. That sounds very realistic. Not that difficult
to execute. From our side, it's very easy because we'd be able to get, you know, whatever transportation, accommodation, etc. is necessary for those that to have both in May and in
August.
No problem. We already have the largest hotel chain, Super Clubs, on our side. You know, the hotel in Cape Sinclair is just the largest. And anyone who comes can have their weekend vacation on the
North
Coast.
Yeah, you want to learn open code? Ask Wayne about the open code. That is, what's your thought? Maybe more careful. And we lost Jeff, unfortunately. I sent missionaries out for him, and it was like looking for him. Yeah. Well, he's new edition. Yes, he's new edition.
Designed to get people talking to each other rather than just between themselves and a teacher or a professor in the context of a class or possibly a radio show or any kind of community built around an idea, getting them in a scalable way so as many people as there are, it still sustains itself as a discussion, not a discussion.
Right, and it's built on open code and will be our initial contribution to the educational commons, and we're hoping to create an environment in which lots of institutions, maybe institutions more technically capable than Harvard Law School, but he did pretty well, likewise contribute, make and contribute tools that are useful for teachers and do it under terms that make them interoperable so that they're actually develops a suite of tools that are genuinely useful. So I was just going to ask you, Wayne, whether where your thought is with respect to MPC and open code. I know you at one point were getting some thoughts.
MPC. Listen, Mark. I'm a Microsoft person. Pretty much know that. Basically, what we are planning on doing at this time, well, I'm going to address that question this way. At the MPC, we are going to basically operate on Microsoft. At Grant Manor, which is coming up actually this week or next week, we actually going to have half Linux and half Microsoft and actually train people.
So you are moving into both.
Slowly,
you're being moved into both.
Yes, yes, yes.
But you're open to it. That's great. That's great. Anything else? Yes, Mark. All right, so for those of you who just came in, what we've been doing is planning a sequence of events that is now embodied in the plan document, which is a talking document. I mean, it's a read of the structure of the funding part of it. Are all dependent on actually writing a plan and getting the money. But this is a very straightforward presentation. So it's looking to a small, relatively small meeting today that will not be here, but will be somewhere in a black church, Fellowship Foundation, that will be building up towards a September bigger event than the kind that we were originally thinking of today, thinking that September is a much better time to do it. And build up the anticipation of information about it, which is that way to go. All right, so I would like to shift focus a little bit at this point to the open code part of things.
Well, let me ask a question. Do people introduce themselves?
Yes,
I'll talk about the conversation to be about CyberJam 99, which is a conference in Jamaica. So,
well, in about 10 minutes, I'm going to be part, however, I do want to begin to hear.
So what are the discussion? I have some of the people I'm going to introduce myself.
Yeah, Wendy Seltzer. I'm a third year at the law school and doing a lot of work with the Brooklyn Center on the distance learning courseware. This is the software that starts conversations among students in a class or an online class. We're using it in the privacy and cyberspace that's being offered to people across the internet.
He's the head tutor in Arthur Miller's privacy and cyberspace.
I'm John Montbrook. I'm the editorial assistant at the center. So anything that we are doing, I'd like to know as much as possible about so we can get the word out to everyone and make something on our site that works.
I think the best way for me to describe the open code part of this is to put it in the low-level context of the Berkman Center. And in the process of doing that, I try and explain to you as clearly as I can, and it actually is a kind of difficult thing, but get focused. What is the Berkman Center about? What is the Berkman Center? The best vision I have for this moment is it's like a diamond with five facets. At the core of it is a philosophy about openness that at its most fundamental says we're increasingly in a world that's surrounded by software. We're increasingly in a software environment. And to the extent that that software environment is proprietary, and to the extent that it's natural for a proprietary domain to extend itself, we can find ourselves in a lot of trouble. I'm actually worried about the future. The most evil vision of it is, imagine a world in which a single corporation made 90% of our food and did it through genetically engineered process to which no one outside the company had serious access. It would be a worrisome thing. It would be a worrisome issue. At the same time, the idea of open code is the idea that there will be a free software environment, that there will actually be tools that allow people to do things that are open and accessible, and not merely in the sense of people having access to them, but in the sense of also being able to work with them, change them, and learn about them. And that's, to me, that's the deepest part of the open code idea. It's a freedom idea, it's a justice idea. It's actually an idea about how law works, because at its core, you're looking at an immense power that's private and corporate that's really governing your life. You don't have access to it. You don't, there's no democracy in that. So that's like a basic philosophy, but it extends well beyond the code. It extends to the other facets that we're talking about. One facet of what we're doing is open code. But a second facet deals with open content. And at its core, that has to do with intellectual property and the extent to which we feel that the idea of copyright and patent and ownership of intellectual property has been so abused and extended that we're really at a quite remarkable point. So one of the main initiatives of the Berkman Center is to file a lawsuit that Larry Lessig is leading against the last extension of the copyright term in the United States, the Sonny Bono 1996 20-year extension of the Copyright Act. And so we challenge that. It's likely to be an interesting legal challenge. It's generated a lot of support. But that's part of a broader thrust on the intellectual property side that, again, stemming from the initial philosophy, more or less says there's been a shift. And it makes sense for the future to be collapsing the amount of law-mandated ownership of intellectual property. So that's a free content side. Then there's an aspect of what we're doing that involves open governance. And that's the project that I have done for you in a moment. But it has to do most specifically with the effort to generate a governing system for the address space in cyberspace, the DNS space. And the challenge is to figure out, if possible, is there a mode, a legal structure that can be created that will actually produce a fair governance system that represents the internet community at large. And that's a very hot ongoing struggle. In a minute. But it's actually broader than just one example. It goes to the idea that governance in the future in a network environment has got to be based on open principles in order for it to be fair. And the open principles involve transparency in the sense of being able to get at it and see what it's doing and understand what its rules of decision on. It's got to be accountable. What are the other words?
Open, transparent, accountable, and representative.
Something like that. And those are the informing principles. And they really extend well beyond. It's really a statement of philosophy. what's the difference?
And bottom-up is less too. The idea of having options being imposed. So Charlie did a wonderful description. And you just right level of the project too. The only thing I'd add to it is, in addition to the substantive work we're doing, trying to help this new organization that's supposed to run these functions for the common good figure out how to fairly govern itself and be accountable to the internet at large. We're also engaged in, as this thing holds meetings all around the world, anybody who is more than an hour away feels that they've been slighted because they can't get to the meeting very easily. And how is this a fair meeting when it's in the blank, Singapore, Buenos Aires, Washington, or Cambridge, which is why last November. So part of our interest has been how to use the internet, and for also doing our organization, to actually wire up these meetings in a way that has them webcasted in a sufficiently functional way that you can actually tune it on the computer and get a sense you know what's going on with it, and plug in so that you can get messages back into the meeting and actually affect its course with a well-placed comment or email or something that is taken into account live as the meeting unfolds. I'd imagine that some of those skills that we're trying to develop might be quite helpful for some of the workshops and forums we're thinking up here.
Okay. And then there are two other facets which, we're deeply involved in trying to figure out how to teach in this field. I think at base, if somebody asked me, what am I? I'm a teacher. That's the word that I feel like that's what it owns me. And that's what you say too. And I think that's a real motivation. And trying to figure out how to use this medium to practice our craft. And we feel we've got a message, but we also feel we've got a method. Hey, David Markham, my favorite. David. Happy to be here. So we're very much involved in the business of trying to learn how to do it. And it's not just a matter of putting pictures up and providing links. It's really a matter of figuring out how interactions work, how you can stimulate somebody's interest, how you can hold their interest, how you can engage them, how you can test them, how you can credential them. It's got all those qualities. And so that's the course that Wendy's working on with Proust. We've got a number of other things. And the fifth one is a privacy, encryption, security, which I would say that's the one we're most behind on in terms of this analysis. It has to do, in my own mind, with having kind of lost key persons to the government, because I think Johnny got excited about him, the guy hoping he's going to be working on it. But it's an equally critical element of the picture, the whole issue of privacy and security is key, not just at the individual level, but at the corporate level and at the national level. The national security debate is feeding on around us at this point. It's ultimately, when it comes down to it, I think the question of whether the most secure environments will actually be the products of data, of open code, where you can see what's going on, or whether they'll be closed and violent. And my only thesis is that we're going to be a lot more secure in an open environment than we will with closed environments. All right, so that's kind of like an overall running school. My interest here is that what I would love to see develop out of this is a training program that goes beyond just the skills of the computer. That is, if that's all we put into schools, it just lacks an intellectual quality. It's not rich enough. It's not real education. It's like
it also won't go anywhere.
It won't go. It's exactly
it won't
like,
go anywhere.
Exactly.
You like. Gotta have some human motivation to tap things in. Right. I mean, otherwise we'd be driven by money, just like everything else we're going to get to.
Right.
But to achieve the independence that you're talking about, and the independence of spirit, and independence where kids are motivated to really learn and do something different with it, it's going to have to, in many ways, start with tapping in to some of the some of the philosophy and some of the motivations and some of the values and the cultures.
Right. So my dream is that we could, with this as our base, that what we'd be looking to is something that is capable of actually catching the imagination of kids. And my sense of my dream of this, it's only that at this point, has taken the most concrete shape around the game structure that McCombs has actually generated and elaborated. McCombs, how about describing your idea of the game? I mean, now, understand, here's where it's coming from. Think of McCombs as a kid who's grown up doing games, like lots of kids. And so far, yeah, thanks for that. You're going to go to me. You're taking it. And so far, the game, the whole game mentality has been seen largely antagonistic to education. Like, kids playing games is seen as the opposite of education.
Not called work.
And so the question would be whether it would be possible to bridge that gap by actually engaging kids in the construction of the game, and at the same time having the game itself have an intellectual content. So it's a kind of a, it's a very ambitious idea, and maybe it's a far away idea, but it's the idea that's actually the one that seems to me to make it worth it to be doing the training kind of programs of the kind we're talking about. If we insinuate ourselves into the schools with technology, it seems like we're going to come to something that's definitely.
Well, so the reason why the game is not considered work or games aren't considered work, so I use games in their classrooms, is because nobody delineates the skills. So I don't think you have to assume that they're not going to be considered useful work. It has more to do with making clear what the skills are, playing the game, or developing the game, and how they connect to intellectual, academic,
physical paradise is to the left intact with fragile deep quality of old ways and indigenous wisdom dying out. Overlaid spores of hate that first grown like fungi amongst the majesty of trees, a lush land in landscape, magic and spells, flush with fruits and herbs, but cursed by evil, fear and violence around every curve. But comes with astounding power, history, and gives James really well. That's the small part. And we have another part here, like myself and some of the other tech school students sat down again, and we just brought up some suggestions about how the game would be.
Let me just put a point in here. I'm very sensitive suggested that to develop the game wanted to play Jamaica, and the suggestion was then why not tell the history of Jamaica?
And using
so what would be the historical point? So they sat down and worked out some historical points.
So some of them would be the historic points, like emancipation, Jamaica's independence, Marcus Garvey and his reforms, Sam Sharp, the slave trade, including Middle Passage, Nanny of the Mormons, Sugar Revolution, apprenticeship, and other events affiliated with the whole slave trade in Jamaica. And so there should be 5 levels in the initial part of the game, but when they're after you pass those items, you just for replay value, you can have like a level 6 and more interesting stuff like that. You know, so 5 weapons for different episodes, you know, and different characters. You can have like Chinese man, this crazy guy, Rastafarian, Indian, you know, some urban ghetto kind of person. You know, it should be all about different backgrounds for the characters, and they all have an interesting role to play in the game and how it develops along the person that you're playing as, you know, they all have different paths in the game. I mean, it should be progressive and most of the things like that stuff. Like I said, yeah, the theme of the game is that the main players come back from the past and they should come to see the paradise that they had left. It's been destroyed. Their main ones have the paradise restored. And in the process, they have to find out who's behind it and stuff like that. So that's some of the main
things. So it's, it, to me, it's a very attractive matter, first of all. The idea of the Lord creating paradise and having to turn to corruption, and then when you return and having to figure out how it got there, is attractive because it offers a kind of disloyalty, spying and time production, certain imagination of all of the typical stuff, the existing games with weapons, and things that jump out and it's quick to shoot from all the levels. I can sort of see that. And the idea of carrying through a series of historical points where somehow the challenge, and this is I don't know how it's appropriate, but the idea of going through historical points and understanding them from different points of view as the way of mastering the points in history. And Jamaica is a wonderful place. Illustrating just the excruciating extremes of the slave master, and the fears on both sides, and the ability to have a story told from both sides. So the thought is to carry up through to a point where you get to the present, and the student could actually, in some sense, say, I've gained some understanding of how it got to be this bad. And then,
one more thing, when I meant progressive, as in time passes, you know, you go through days and years and so on, and all of the knowledge like of one character will be continued passing on to a different character through the eras, you know, from slavery up until now, you know, 21st century kind of thing.
So that you can start out as a slave, staying as a slave, you can still end up as a reggae boy at the end, so to speak.
In a way, no, like as in family. And it keeps going down until, like, you know, in the end, you know, the last generation of this one set of people finally overcomes the evil. That's what I'm talking about.
One good suggestion that you made, though, was that these historical points could be developed as school projects, and that makes it interesting, each level of the history. In fact, when they sat down and discussed this, They all assume knowledge of the world and their Caribbean history. They have so many historical points, we have to kind of narrow it down to a few.
One thing, right. So what are you saying are school projects? No. The way we're talking about with that is as if to continue on, as in to beat a certain level in the game, you need to research in your head and know about that era of history and like what went on to be able to find your way through this particular puzzle. and that kind of stuff. So it also, you know, it just says, you know, to go out there and learn about this was a good thing, promote studying and that kind of stuff. So it's educational also.
And not just Jamaica, because so much is happening that links to other parts of the world. I mean, you can be there in 1773 and 17... When was the United States got independent?
1776.
Yes. And, I mean, the links to Jamaica are there. The links even to Boston are there. So you can go one part of the game and be in America. You can be in England. You can be in Africa. You can be in Jamaica. And it's all history that's common to all of us, irrespective of where we've been born and brought up.
And another part of that, since it's open code and it allows the changing of the whole structure of the game, we could, you know, put in your own part of history if you want, if you know how to do it.
There's an idea for a game, but the idea is actually the idea of developing a game. So the question is, how, if we imagine this venture that we talked about earlier, the training program getting started, how could we grow that training program? How could we imagine that training program so that it has these elements of competition, of substantive training, of development of a game? It's not like the game has to be developed before the program. It's like the program has to be the development of the game to be able to run. And so that's really the question that I'd love to explore. Any kind of thoughts on one of your speakers?
I heard you say something about making your business around the game.
Starting a development company through this whole thing for like up and coming people who want to learn about programming and give them the opportunities to work in the field around people who already know what they're doing. You know, just to help them build their knowledge, because like one thing, like in terms of everything to do with computers, not just programming and stuff, like, you know, building all that kind of stuff, system design, networking, all that kind of stuff, because like the thing is, you need to catch from early if you really want to make a change, and that's what I want to do. Like in Jamaica right now, I was just saying this to someone yesterday, like one of the main problems is that these technicians and all these people who work in the technology field practically don't know what they're doing, what they think they do. So, you know, just like to give like the next batch of, you know, programmers and designers and technicians the real knowledge of what's going on and how to do it, to help people, you know, and just do it that way. That's really what it is.
I want to say that when that this game, the only thing he likes the game, he doesn't like the game because he says this is only one of many games he likes to do. That's what the whole development idea is all about. We have said that. And also when the idea started, we all didn't know about open code. We didn't
not all of us.
You.
You.
Didn't know what it really meant, and, you know, freeware. So this is like when we first sat down with the tech school and said, hey guys, let's use open code, it's going to be free, and everybody would have access.
No, you used the word freeware.
It made a huge discussion because no one understood. They all said, how are we going to make money from working? And, you know, then we had to go in and get all that information. So that's been another level of learning as well. But the ultimate aim is, yes, to have a design production role.
And like one of the main things would be to develop more programs for the open code, Google Linux kind of thing. Because like another thing why, like most of my friends and I, we all know about Linux and Unix, you know, and that stuff. But the reason why we don't use it is because there aren't that many programs and all that stuff for it, or at least that we know of. You see, so we want to make them for people like ourselves who are just up and coming, who want to see that kind of stuff. And we also think that it would boost the popularity of the whole industry of that stuff.
So I asked for what I thought was a good reason, namely that I was hoping to find something consistent in the wouldn't be able to fund the graphic designers who would be required to make a big lottery game if your distribution model involved charging them money. And I still believe that to be the case, but I guess...
No. Money is involved. I'm just not speaking about it, because like everything, especially with any business that I would be doing, I would expect a lot of money to be involved for it to get done.
Specific but even ignoring that issue, which perhaps is put aside to the general open code, closed code, money, no money today, we're here, I guess, looking for a set of action items coming out of the meeting. For myself, I'm intrigued by your game. If you write it, I will play it. I'll be a beta tester. I'll look at it. But somehow that doesn't give me anything to do tonight or tomorrow. And as we have, what, 20 minutes left in this room, I'm wondering where to take...
We want to begin.
Where to begin?
Yeah, where do we
begin? Where do you want to begin?
Come here
to have... And I see and I picked one of the questions from Charlotte was asking, are we assuming that right now computers are in place? Is the assumption that computers are in place, I'm asking now, what do the kids do, and how do we get the kids involved and ready to begin? Yes, that was the question that you were asking, which I thought I understood that you were. It seems to me that that could actually be very simply handled with the computers are being given. They're being by NCC. They can come with requirements and may not that part of the use of those computers, a certain number of hours being devoted to the history, to the study of history, the study of open, the study of computer programming in the development of this game, which would actually get the students involved. It would be part of their coursework in Jamaica. It would get the students involved. It would get the basis for the game to run, because all this history needs to be put in there somewhere. All of these things need to be created. And I think that that would be a small thing to ask any center that has computers to just devote some of the time to develop the game.
That certainly sounds like a plausible approach. It's actually, in my mind, the action needed is just further elaboration of what would actually go on in an environment where you would put it in machines, you know, right? What's the next step? If someone has to grow out of the training environment that we were talking about earlier
can I make a supposition, which I may add to yours? Is there any great project like this, and this sounds like a great project, I have specific ideas I'd love to share with you, possibly after the show after you. You need a priest, you need an executive priest, you need someone who's going to pay real money, who probably would be best someone who comes from Jamaica, because bringing someone from the outside to do this, you didn't have the right person. Someone who understands what's going on, and you change the meaning of what the Berkman Center needs to do is one, identify that person, two, whoever, two, pay that person, and three, enable that person with the raw materials and the kind of set of guidelines to use that. Okay, X amount of hours. You're going to have to enforce the X amount of hours to spend furthering this game. You're going to have to make sure that the various modules are nailed down. You have the right historical backing, with the right interfaces between the various modules and connections. And that should be whatever the phone is doing, however many games he's doing, that's his business. But if it's you, if your business is getting this thing done, first, foremost, and maybe exclusively from raising him. Because without that devoted focus, and without that kind of linear of like, this is mine, I'm going to make it happen without trying, a great idea can just sit. So you need to get, I think, from the Berkman Center, enough money so that you can do that, and enough sort of guideline and kind of the
there.
Of approval, if you are. I mean, I don't mean it to sound like that, but that will give other people buy-in so they want to check this out. And it seems to me that if you could deliver them those things, then the rest they should organize themselves with a little bit of guidelines and types of computers. But it should be their business, and now they want to organize the creation of this game. And what you can do, as Ben says, is at all moments review the historical modules to see that they hang together, review the structure. You have some programmers who can look at things and say, something isn't working. If you're running into a problem, hey, we can shift this up, or can you help us with this? And you can get buy-in once you have things rolling, but you're controlling the process.
I also like the software you said you developed for students to talk to each other. That seems like something we could very practically use, because we're going to be in Jamaica, but I can see that all our direction and guidance is going to come from this end. I don't think there's anybody, there's one person, perhaps she's a woman, who probably could have the development of the game, but I don't think there's anyone else in Jamaica who has those skills. I haven't found that person yet. There's one lady who developed the software, a reggae music CD. You can go and get the whole history of reggae and music and da da da.
Are you saying you have the skills?
No, I have management skills, right. But I don't have the technical knowledge.
We need that person.
Yes, we need that person.
One thing, this is kind of how you do it, I think. First, this is just a personal issue, though. This is personal to you. We wouldn't work with him.
No, I know that.
Yeah,
I know
yeah,
that.
Right.
So, I mean, there isn't anyone that I know of.
Well, so it sounds like there's an adaptive producer, but now you need a kind of blind producer, someone with technical skills who can ride herd on these people and make sure that disparate groups are functioning together. So now you need two things. One, you need enough backing so that you can focus all your attention on this. And two, you need someone who can direct the production, or someone who you feel comfortable working with, who actually can physically come to Jamaica, physically move around to the various spots where people are doing this program, physically help you to manage to make sure that all the pieces are coming together and that the dialogue back between here and there is going on.
In fact, one thing, especially you're talking about somebody that we could work with, because one thing, you guys have to remember, we still are kids. You know, we need to
forget that all.
Right. Honest mistake. Well, we like to have nice people around that we can work with, and that's something that I like, because, like, the whole vibe of everything that's going on in there. So, you know, I know that it could work, but that's the main thing. Because, like, sometimes, you know, as a kid, I know, we cannot be very motivated. We can be motivated sometimes, but we just need the right person guiding us along. Because we love to do it, but we just need the right people to work with. And, you know, we're kids, so, remember, we're very fortunate people. So, you know, we need the right people.
Well, so I have two specific people in mind. If I were you, I would reach out to just individuals. But then individuals with enough cash in their pocket that might want to thank us. And then two Cambridgeans, I think karmically would have the right motivation. And one is Miss Skateboard, you know, like doing DC work. The guy's got more money than God, loves opening roads, and has, like, he did a Lotus Institute and whatever. And this is something he would get from money. And normally you don't want to push him for money, but this is one way to say, look, without money, we don't have a debt. The other person is Nicholas Negroponte, who also has more money than God, who brings in kids to MIT, and who should simply just pull out $100,000 out of his own pocket and put his name on it.
I would go for the first one first. We met Negroponte at MIT Junior Summit, and we still have links, you know, we still talk, trying to make an input. In fact, we'd very much like them to come down for that launch, a delegation. But we're not getting the kind of feedback that we need. They're very busy setting up Nation One and all the things that came out of that.
Right. What I'm suggesting is you don't go to the media now, which is that Nicholas has all sorts of ties, and he directs that with hands or ties. What I'm suggesting is that Charlie leverages his friendship with Nicholas to say, out of your own pocket, buddy, put your name on this, devote a little mind share, and let's see if, you know, if you can put your money where your mouth is in terms of these ideas, and whether we can make something happen. With your commitment that he doesn't have to manage the project, you'll make sure that the project is managed. And you'll put the Bergman Center's, you know, name
and management skills such as they are providing.
Yes, please.
Well, I think that this is very I need it to bring it down the ground in some way, but I need some idea that's fuzzy and up in the air and will stay up in the air until it somehow gets out of the ground so much more comfortable, but in the middle of it, but I see myself feel like it needs something to be integrated to the post to the actual a set of unfolding steps and a relationship with the very grounded kind of thing that we're talking about with the name of the technology centers where Mesh hands out the machine and getting them right to make the point of that sort of thing. So,
how
much face-to-face time do you have left here? You have this evening, I suppose. And how many people are here forever versus here tomorrow and then leaving again?
Where everybody else goes off in the coast?
You guys take off tomorrow. So we have a day tomorrow with a nice built-in deadline at the end in which to try to put our heads together and actually come up with something. If I were thinking of a planning conference for this, we would actually break out groups and say, all right, what are the pieces of this puzzle? One is to develop a proposal for the game, both for its own sake and as an example of the kinds of things we expect people now left with computers but not exactly sure what to do with them or what should be the motivation to learn them. This is an example of something you can see them building towards that would say, all right, now I'm excited to come in and work on these computers and say, I'm going to build this game. You could even see things less ambitious at first than the game, or even less ambitious versions of the game. I don't imagine this yet as Battlezone 3, you know, Return of Wrath of somebody or other, but rather at first make it a text adventure to start with. You know, imagine some layer of which you're actually learning to code a little bit. That's probably what I think.
I have what you were saying though, like, in Jamaica, there will be a lot of reach for that. Because in Jamaica, the whole bulletin board system is very high. It's very active. If you have a computer in Jamaica and you're on a bulletin board and like, we love door games.
Yeah.
And we love the role play game. There's Legend of the Red Dragon. Everybody plays that. And it's practically almost the same thing that we're talking about. And you're saying text. It's text only. You
right.
Have some
right.
Few antsy pictures and stuff
right.
There. So, you know, it would be easy to do something like that. We just start off really small and get everybody to test it and make it work.
So you can imagine one group tomorrow actually working on math and thinking it through and then trying to get it onto some paper to describe just what the game is, both for its own sake and as an example of the kinds of things you do, running with some of the other groups. One group, I guess, as I understand NTC, their idea is to, there are locations of people that are interested in learning about technology. They want to see computers get there and then have people learn about computers. And I suppose one difficult thing you would do with it is teach people how to use Word or a spreadsheet or something like that. Right. So, okay, that's running fine. People want to use Word and spreadsheets. But this is another potential use for it. So you'd see what are the existing structures in NPC. How do people currently relate to it? What are the demographics?
Teach education.
Okay. And do they tend to be kids, adults, all over the place?
I'd say kids. I think it's 90% of the 27 to 13 to 17. And the larger, you know, I think their developmental steps in terms of getting involved in the game are very different than textbooks about a mission to accomplish in a potential situation.
Right.
But the prime and prime, I think, for them would be to be able to have their students participate in the conversation around the game, and then to develop the game from here.
Right.
The same storyline, the same different characters, with the links, the chronological links. Then to have those kids who are really interested in game development be able to take objectives and take them to those
different. Well, what I like most about the idea of having the NPC environments be networked. I don't know how many of them are. All I know is just computers are plugged into the wall.
and they're not actually on modems or...
I thought they said it's 11 centers.
So to the extent that they're actually networked, having people working on things that aren't just individual, I completed my work training course and now I'm done, but instead are adding to something that other people are doing, whether it's a game or just a conversation, that sounds like a great next step to work into the existing NTC program. Okay, now the third thing is Tech School 2000.
That's where we're getting computers that people are...
That's where we're
looking to send, exactly.
And we want to make some... We don't presume that they're necessarily not Y2K compliant, but if they're not, we'll make
they
them.
They have to be to get into the country.
Right. Okay. And then there they are, and what are we going to do with them? But that's sort of NTC in an earlier stage then, because you don't yet have everything else mapped out, which can be both good and bad. It can be good in that you don't have the existing, as you say, the contract, the deliverables,
right,
et cetera. But it also means there's just that much more to do to get going. So that's a team of people, too, to be talking about, okay, assuming we got a raft of these computers tomorrow, what would be the bottom-up structure by which they get distributed around locations, and there'd be some way in which people knocking on the door wanting to use them would be welcomed into the fold and have kind of that DBS network to join so that they, you know,
Two new folks, so let's just go around the room real quick and introduce ourselves again. TT?
My name is Tamara Thompson, and I'm a student at the law school, and more in touch with the folks in the
Doug?
My name is Doug Calvary. I'm also a student,
Caroline? It's too quick to really give you a picture.
How much have you been in?
That's, I'm just about to talk because I haven't asked them to answer this. So.
I'm Jeffrey Kirkman. I'm also HID. For those of you who don't know what that is, it's the Harvard Institute for International Development, which is an institute at Harvard dedicated to development issues in developing countries, helping developing countries in their economic and social development. And I am the head of the Information Technology and Development Program, which is a new program at HID that's trying to look at how the internet and other technologies can help developing countries in various ways.
HID has been an incredibly vibrant program. It's wonderful that you're using it in making technology. I welcome the connection. It seems like exactly the right kind of thing. What we've been doing, Jeff, is we, and I'm sorry that we fouled up on the first part, but we met with Wayne Williams and Wakessa, both from Neighborhood Technology Centers, which is a HUD program that does technology training out of a housing project background. They're part of a HUD program that's refurbishing housing, turning it over to residents, selling it to residents, and at the same time developing the infrastructure within the residents, the community, to actually run it through technology training. His programs have been remarkably successful, at least by all reports, as HUD kind of demonstration projects are extended and going forward. So the objective with the NTC groups is basically to cast off corporate computers, refurbish them through the technology center to Y2K compliance, distribute them to schools here and elsewhere, Jamaica, for example, and along with it, institute a training structure that goes with them that deals with both Microsoft and open code training. And the specific thing that we've been talking about here is seeing if we can't generate a part of that that goes beyond skill training, that actually gets into the development of something of intellectual content. And the focus point for our talk has been the development of actually a game where the project would be developing the game as a way of learning not only culture and history of Jamaica, which is what the game is built around, but technology because it can do it. So that's basically the way. And what we're groping for is a method to get to a point where we have a clear enough proposal so that we could actually put it. I don't believe we have all of the knowledge to execute it here, or even to plan it for it, but to take the next steps to get to that point is the most practical objective. Any other? Okay. Excellent. Okay. Then the second half of what's happening, and the reason why there was some measure of ambiguity at the beginning, we're just at the point of the Berkman Center of coming forward with a proposal that we call H2O, which is an open code project that we want to put forward as a focal point for university work on open code. And it's somewhat tenuous, but that's the connection with the open code part of this. Starting with people, I didn't give you a copy of that document, which is kind of fresh off the press. So John, the challenge for us is to do something practical. It's what Ben said. Can we actually imagine something to do at this point, or is it just something for us to talk about?
Well, I'll do something to do, generate voting paper, even that as a start, the visual equivalent. We always got some raw ingredients, which included computers somewhere readily available that people don't want to be lent to the enterprise. We know we've got spaces through the NTC. Yeah, NTC. We already have an existing program that's interested in connection and that has an existing training program that they're wanting to buff up in some way, and seem delighted to buff it up in a way that connects it with this game contest in Jamaica and with whatever intermediate software like our rotisserie that may aid in that kind of communication in the building. And we know we've got Textual 2000, which is a desire to take those first raw ingredients and have them be used well in Jamaica. So that's, at least that's a program that you're already organizing and dealing with, and you've got a whole bunch of logistics that are already kind of under your wing. So the real question would be, what's going to be sort of our ops? We need to have one group design what the kind of homepage or welcome screen or whatever it's going to be is going to be for people signing on to NTC or through the first Textual 2000 that says, I'm joining this network. I'm joining this group of people interested in doing things like creating a codex game or otherwise connecting as a way of learning, preferably over the codes and in any kind of way, about the technology. So what that community is going to look like and what will be understood is what a group should spend some time talking about tomorrow. That's the kind of group that I'd imagine would be Ben, Wendy, and anybody else who wants to join it. But that's really tangible. You've got to design the site. It's going to make sense. It also ought to involve somebody who's going to say, this is the kind of thing tech school 2,000 people are going to want to see or the expectations of that, and do it for NPC. And so you've got to have people from each of those respective programs in that group helping design the site that's going to be truly interactive and get people signed up and registered. And you can say, this collective project has this many people plugged in. And, you know, they check their mail this often, they interact with each other in these following ways. So that's one thing we could build, and that doesn't even seem like a huge capital investment. That's just getting the site rolling. It's like this community cyber course or something. You just have to have the architecture there to do it. So one group should do that tomorrow, I would think. The other thing is committing some of these things to paper in a way that is business plan-esque. It's kind of what you've been talking about. If I pay it down, so that if you were to go with Nicholas, and the first thing is, what is this all about? And you give him a whole song and dance. That sounds interesting. Before I happen to write the check for $100,000, what, you know, can you give me some backup on this? That document is the other thing we ought to be developing.
I'm sure there's a clearing document in that building. I have to do that.
So that would be the other great thing.
It's less of input.
Yeah, so getting that document first in skeletal form and then fleshed out tomorrow would be terrific, and that's the kind of document you can follow. That is super simple. Perhaps meant to be subtle.
not in Dan's power.
Something saying, I already have other things to do tomorrow.
Oh, well, there's that. No, this might not be.
Excellent.
So what are your thoughts, Kevin? Thanks for being here.
I question whether the game is the right first project for us or whether it makes sense in connection with our other project that we were discussing for the first half of the meeting. I see the connection, but we can make a connection between almost any two ideas that we can think of. It doesn't mean that they belong on the same business plan just because we can come up with a plausible connection between them. I can see funding for community technology centers around the world. No problem, that should be relatively easy to fund with all the things that we're thinking of. We should be able to do that. There certainly should exist people in the world who want to be involved with setting up such centers, and we should be able to find them and do it.
We just realized that these technology centers, both here, the existing ones at NPC, and what Tech School 2000 could be, if what we're about, in large part, is trying to say teaching, I like the idea of the game as something to which, particularly the kids that are employed to both of these locations, to be building towards. It's so much better. The curriculum is to participate in a structured way in this network of people that are building a game. It may not be against graphics, it has to be first or something. That seems to be a much more interesting educational model about coding than one which has you either learning Photoshop or WordPerfect or generating a flyer or something, which is useful, but still...
I definitely agree that there's a problem in the typical uses of neighborhood technology.
Or just as an occasion, you know, just something that is good in its own right, but that our point is to try to build it.
Right, but whether you want to teach every person who wanders into a neighborhood technology center how to program so that they can make a contribution to the game, whichever game it is that's being developed in their technology center, I don't buy into it yet.
All right, but that, to me, that's okay. I mean, I can see people wandering in and suddenly they're using the Photoshop to do a graphic with, you know, there's all sorts of ways you can contribute without having to learn C++.
It could be a phenomenal demonstration of using the distributed resources of a subnet that is the neighborhood technology centers that we know about,
right.
Or it could be a complete failure and that no one has any idea of what part of the project they're supposed to be working on.
Yeah.
Nothing happens.
That's
you see where I come from.
Management could control that.
stuff. How are you going to manage? Anyway, we're getting into details beyond what we should.
But I don't think there was anything choice in close that. I mean, I really do think that the success of NCC is that it provides an entry point for people who don't have the skills. And if it allows those who want to go beyond and go beyond, then that's going to go well. And the rest of the folks just putting these issues to war.
Right.
So I do agree that there's got to be some devotion, not that NCC is a disappointment, but that doesn't say that's not the focus of Jamaica to fund those issues. It's technology systems. A proposal for other parts of other areas here, whether in the U.S. or Jamaica, to fund those similar kind of things. But certainly their success is that they provide the environment, they provide an entry point, and then they allow people to enter where they are, particularly when you talk to 13 examples. You can't predetermine what the use is, what the access point is, what the actual use is.
But at the very least, if what I get when I join up with one of these technology centers is not just an email account, you know, let me on the internet at large, but an entry into this community of people that are similarly situated in many ways. They're at my level of learning, perhaps, or they're going to a neighborhood technology center on the other side of the country, or something that's in Jamaica. That could be an interesting community to join and have things to talk about with, whether you're building a game or just saying, I can't figure out, my work keeps crashing because Microsoft didn't do it right. Or, I'm not doing something right, you know, which is it? So I could see again.
Well, because there's a page on the Tech School site now which isn't properly formed, but which I hope would be a place where children from all around the world could come in, see what projects they're working on, and send that to our center and have feedback, you know, on self-care or whatever. And those projects and those work, the work they were doing would determine who got invited to the summit school. So we wanted to have a page like that, which isn't really operating as it should. So when you said that, I could really see that.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. That the first manageable task, and one that would have a big payoff, would be to get people able to talk laterally with each other across the distances to different centers in the countries, and then see what bonds they form. I don't know. Maybe they don't have anything in common, but you know, that was the reach to try to get.
In the beginning, I let you know what you're talking about.
It might be, although I don't know if it's asynchronous. It may be a V-line, where you can say meeting them on the floor. But I would think it'd be either, it might be a messaging base, it might be something like a question list this week, or somebody is doing the interesting question of the week for that subgroup, and then people are answering it and getting the dialogues with people far away on the basis of how they answer the question. And that would be the fun thing to experiment with, and why I would think the group tomorrow that says, all right, what would this community entry point look like, would have a lot of fun. And with that, I'm going to answer my question.
See, right away you're putting tech school into a much wider set of schools. Tech school just pushes one of the whole set of schools, which is why. Then we have groups that have some kids in the Philippines right now, which have a game out there. We're going to explain that if you set up a game. So what?
It's like an online storybook graphic curve that you're kind of looking at
But they were wanting to see some of the teams and us engineers that it could be that we could all work together. And it's a kind of game that you can go and then make your own character.
It's like write your own storybook practically, and the 3D characters inside the game actually something like
that. They were already talking about that. Then in the Philippines and us engineers, how could we work together? But we didn't have the right interface. We didn't have the right ability to do it. We didn't have the right teacher because I like what you were saying earlier in the meeting.
So Jeff, say more about what the interest of your organization is in some venture like this. Is there any point of connection?
Well, I'm hearing a lot of different things, a lot of different goals. Coming out of what I'm saying and reminding me of other programs that exist right here. But I feel, and I wish that and met you all before last week. I brought up a very interesting set of speakers from the World Bank and the World Bank for Development. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. So it's a new project for the World Bank, which they provide connectivity to schools in developing countries and then train teachers to build an internet-based curriculum. Project-based learning in which students in various countries collaborate with students in other countries. And a whole series of projects that are underway that are active in 14 countries that would expand, especially in America. other countries to learn not only about what's going on in other countries, but what's going on in your own. Depending on the country in which they've gone into, the lessons learned have been very different. They just kind of take different directions. And I think that's kind of an important lesson always. There's certain cross-national collaborative projects that they take a lesson of their own. And the students aren't doing anything that you don't expect them to. But I also hear referencing the community centers, technical centers, which there's reminds me a lot of movements that are going on right now with telecenters around the world, which is a very big concern in the development field right now, of establishing those connectivity in especially rural areas of the country. From that connectivity now to address communal needs, health, or education, or micro-business, or entertainment. And we are getting involved with the project for MIT Media Lab in working with establishing their own digital town centers. There are a lot of these issues underway, a lot of lessons learned already. So I don't know what everyone knows about these other issues underway, but I wouldn't reinvent the wheel. There's a body of literature out there, there's conferences, there's a whole active community of people debating the merits of this or that. And there's a whole network of a telecenter community that's out there. But I'm not sure, I don't know what expertise there is other than.
There's quite a few things happening now, I could just go back again to the UN Summit, which is very similar. The United Nations have an independent partner to it. A lot is happening. It's a matter of building people down the page, so we can link to all of that. But we are specifically trying to do something which have grown into this family. And everybody coming from where they're coming is trying to put together a house. Yes, it's going to happen there on the dining table like everybody else is. But this is going to be ours. I think that's the only difference. I think that's why Ken has drawn us all here together to see what we can bring from all these different families and so forth to make another family here. That's what I really see. And these are good resources which we could live, lead to other places outside. This is another new kind of stage. If you're talking about that, the World Bank Initiative is something that I know Jamaica would want to be interested in from the Ministry of Education point of view. So we now, as the technology consultant, can take that in through the door. So there you are, Ministry of Education. Go ahead and say to that, we're just going to use this one in any corner of it here.
I think the object of the World Program is to minimize the involvement of the Ministry of Education to get the initial approval and then
But you see, countries like Jamaica, things like that can't work without the Ministry of Education, You have to have a ready benevolent minister or something like what you're doing where the minister will be patron but allow us our freedom because we see that the freedom is in a wider context and a context, names like those dropping that a government in themselves, so they can say, okay, but in little countries, they're not going to give a call. I mean, the whole technology thing is another call being for the powerful. So we're fortunate that we have a little area that's independent and a minister that doesn't want to swallow a whole. So, that's what kind of is it. Jamaica has good connections, I realize. Jamaica is a good place for to receive first world benevolence. So many reasons. And that's why this is happening. I think they've drawn together a very rich group of people. Of what can be contributed. Really. It's difficult to envisage what life on an island is like. You literally need a limited group. I mean, the computer and the internet is my personal freedom. You know, I live and work at home. And I'm in the whole entire world. The limitations of Jamaica and having to have a visa are irrelevant now because of the computer. So you're giving us that globalization, basically, just through this. And a country like Jamaica that's so ready to go, I mean, we're right there, and, you know, good to go. It's good to have these kind of issues. And I'm sure there are lots of other countries, just to say. But Jamaica is the common thread that's drawn us all together here. So we're trying to see how we can give to our members. I mean, the entities here are like the desire of the Holy Spirit to set up something called centers of excellence, which would do exactly that. I mean, centers of excellence became these tech schools. And when we have them, whether they're called centers of excellence or tech schools, is irrelevant. They're all going to do the same thing. And children in our tech school, now there's some that don't want to do the game. Some just want to develop their HTML skills and do website. There's one young man who's very, very good at programming, but I don't think he can get involved until he's finished his doing a translation program. You know, he really wants to finish that. So there'll be kids who want to just do Photoshop. We have a graphic designer who does work digital
photography.
We want to bring him in as well. I mean, this is someone who's 27. So it's just that we're just starting to fly, and you're helping build our wings. Everybody's going to have feathers, so let's put some feathers in.
As far as this meeting and stuff, I'm wanting to get something on paper. I think the just three things that we really need to answer, three questions that we need to answer as best as we can, is just a start, so just to get something done. These are very vague questions and they're very difficult to answer, but who are we? Exactly who are we? We are a Burton Center, we are a Texas 2000, we are an NCT, but in what context is really who is doing this? Because if we're looking for investors, if we're looking for grant money, if we're looking for anything or anybody, four-fifths of what they invest in is who is doing this.
Well, no, I don't want to go away from what Jeff said. I mean, the fact is we start from Jamaica, it's true. And he comes in with a much broader context than we've had, familiarity with a much wider range of people who've been working in these directions than we've had. So I'm feeling like a vacuum in your direction, in the sense of... I want to connect with what you're describing.
I don't think I answered your question. I would answer I kind of get told what's going on. Linking what I'm hearing to things I know about. What I do and what we're trying to do at HIIV is my personal work involves building many industries around places like protection, housing, nature. When you give kids skills, what are they going to do with these skills? Are they going to go to the U.S.? You know, licensing programs? Or are they going to stay in Jamaica and they're going to build their own businesses there? And how do you provide jobs? And that's just the bottom line is, okay, how can you tap this into this as a source of economic development to create jobs, to create an educated labor force, which is interesting to me. That is what we look at, and we look at in a variety of countries around the world, and familiar with similar efforts in other places. That's my own piece of bigger pie, I guess. And I've had conversations with Max Pointer or something, like the Gidge Report, about his efforts and what he's tried to do. I want to have more conversations with him. But that's the kind of place that your school or your center, he and his vision, the Gidge Report is a free trade zone.
Max was at our, we had a meeting in Jamaica in November, and Max was at
As far as I understand it, the Vision Report has one part of this zone devoted to offshore data processing, higher tech jobs, using processing information products and things. And that's an area that could take off, however, the issue with who's going to work there and not having enough employees.
It's kind of a technology institute in most of the data systems. You support many companies in the course, which is much of the data. That's the only trouble.
But it's an interesting model.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's
the kind of that's
working
elsewhere.
Well, just saying you just have to be doing it, get the same set of businesses.
Doug, your second question?
What do we want to do? What is it exactly the game, the computers, exactly what it is what that we want to do? The answer. We need to actually get some kind of focus of this game with these sensors, using these many people for these many hours, whatnot. Like I said, there's the little questions to answer, but the answer. The third question would be how are we going to do it? What environment are we going to use it in? How is it going to actually work? And then these may be obvious questions, but what I'm thinking of is the word business plan that come up. First thing you do when you write a business plan is you get an executive summary. It's a 4-page document that pretty much outlines everything. It just, this is it. This is us in a nutshell. If you want more, read on. But I think what we need is us in a nutshell, and if we can get some kind of document like that, then we can each develop our own portions of that document and answer the questions further and further and further and actually do something. That's what I see as being a plan of action for now, is identifying those questions and trying to answer them, whether it's just fruits of some sort.
And it doesn't have to be fancy down to the end of the table, that's probably a lot of coming. And start out with things to adjust them and what activities to really be sure to adjust them. Another column is the indicating that will show you the net benefit of the process. And then you have risk factors. It's a very, very easy tool, very easy thing to set up and a good way to brainstorm. But it sounds like something like that. And getting back to Jeff's point earlier, I think the concrete thing that comes out of that is that somebody should be doing research. I mean, not like the primary reason that I hear that for my work is that I want to meet other people who are doing the same thing and learn from whatever different ones it's involved in. It's also important for writing courses to others to show, to have a list of things that other projects are similar to say what has. Can be done with how someone else is coming. So it's something that you should be doing there in Portland. Getting
some sites from Portland. Sounds like you'd be a great facilitator for a meeting if you're available.
Fortunately, should we, therefore, should you, to say, who are we? Should you create another umbrella name for the project?
Well, I have a feeling that we should record emails around the room just to possibility that we're going to get back in touch with each other. And I'm, this we started out with NTC discussing a very specific program. And I want to make sure that we stay with that specific program. And this other is beyond. And as we go beyond, we want to make sure we don't compromise what came before. And it may be that we're shooting too far too fast, and that we could really take some time to do the kind of connecting that you're describing, see just what it is there. Eric, you have thoughts?
Yes, I do. I
first mentioned that we could go back there and there's any sense of how many folks are actually coding at this point?
Exactly. We have 14 students that we can call tech schoolers at the moment. Out of them, I think we need how many of them are going to
that program before?
Yes, but not much, you see. Yeah. We need a teacher right now. We need a teacher right now.
Our own six.
But not to any great extent. Some job or some support, but not much.
All right, so I'm feeling like this meeting is closing, and we should close it. Yeah, that'd be good.
I guess I'm gathering the first sense of people basically have their own things to do,
actually have to try to. Yeah, I think that's right. I think that I'd like to work with Barbara and Cullen, but I don't think that we need to try and do a whole big week thing. That's right. We actually had, almost a too productive meeting with Wayne and with Kessa and agreeing just what we're doing at NTC, so there's no further need for immediate elaboration on
that.
For that May meeting that we were talking about in September. Alright, so.
Should we try and do this as a summer tomorrow? We have some day of old people.
Yes. Yes, I think we could. So let's work on that. That'll be good.
Thank you.